Hey there, guys. This is Chad Davidson from Good Fight Ministries, and I am so excited for this interview we just did with Jack Marino. And guess what? This thing, I mean, I'm telling you, had so many layers. I was really, really excited to sit down with her after I had seen a very short clip on Instagram that we're going to show to you guys even prior to the interview, because this was like, wow, I can't believe what God has done in her life. And we are so excited to be able to have this interview to share with you how Jack Marino came out of the New Age, the occult, and ultimately to Jesus Christ.
I'm Jack. I was sexually abused as a child, and unrelatedly, my dad was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I turned to self-harm, eating disorders, drug and alcohol addiction, and supernatural experiences to stuff down the memories and escape my pain. I found the law of attraction, and that really gave me a feeling of power over my life, thinking that I could control my own destiny. I ended up in abusive relationships where I believed my twin flame taught me New Age beliefs. I thought I was ascending. I started finding spirituality to be my new high, my new escape. And I ended up in the occult, where I believed I was being led by the entity Thoth to Aleister Crowley. I began practicing ritual magic and alchemy, and I eventually ended up being initiated into an order called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, where I practiced ritual magic in a Freemason lodge. And it was there that Jesus Christ met me, delivered me, saved me, and gave me the peace I'd been looking for my entire life. I am now a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, the new has come. And I desire to testify of who Jesus Christ truly is and the glorious gospel that set me free from sin and death and has given me everlasting life.
Well, praise the Lord. What you just watched was a minute version of now the longer testimony that you're going to be hearing from Jack Marino. And I want to welcome Jack to the Good Fight Radio Show.
Hi, it's so good to be here with you.
Well, I am excited. I've gotten a little bit of your testimony, not only in the shorter version, but seen some longer versions as well. And I really think that people here would benefit so much from your testimony. So, you know, but without getting any, you know, too many questions or getting too deep into it, I just want to hear a little bit of the background, because we've already heard a minute version of your testimony, but now it'd be great to go into the background and really just share, you know, how Jesus saved you out of the New Age.
Well, thank you so much again for having me on and allowing me to share what God has done in my life through Christ. I thought that I was a Christian growing up. I went to a Christian preschool. My family said that they were Christians, and I genuinely thought that I was just born into a family of Christians, that everyone in my family and the generations before was a Christian, almost like how we're Americans. So even though I went to this preschool, I really didn't have an understanding of the gospel. I don't remember ever hearing it. Then again, I was very small, but it wasn't really lived out as far as I saw. So although I thought I was a Christian, said I was a Christian, I was not truly born again, and I didn't have a good understanding of who Jesus is. He was just someone who I would imagine when I was afraid, and that was pretty much it. And when I was very young, I was sexually abused. And that left me very confused, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and a lot of shame, because I saw it as something that I was choosing to do at a certain point, especially when the memory started becoming clear. And I just was a very confused child. Also, when I was 5, my mom separated from my dad because he had drug and alcohol abuse problems. And that was really hard for me, because in my mind, my relationship with my dad was healthy. The sexual abuse was not related to that situation. And so I loved my dad. And he told me that if he didn't get sober, that I was his reason for living. And so if he lost me, that he would die. And at a young age, I really took that on as my identity, that I need to make sure that my dad stays sober. I need to make sure that nothing happens to him, because I'm the reason why he's living. And there was a lot of pain involved with that, but a lot of isolation with this ongoing sexual abuse that was happening. I really felt the reality of how when you tell a lie, then you have to tell more lies to cover up that lie, and then more lies. And at a certain point, really early on, I didn't even know who I was anymore because of the isolation in this secret abuse. And also the ways that I had started just to be confused sexually, honestly, and the ways that that impacted me was very shameful. And around the age of 7, I had an experience where I saw lights in the sky. I say lights in the sky, but it wasn't just lights. It was these personal, familiar, powerful persons, was the only way I could explain it, that I thought were the angels of my dad's friends who had been, I'd been very close to, that he'd met in rehab, and they had passed away from either an overdose or symptoms from drug and alcohol abuse. And that was the only real context I had for this experience, but it was the most powerful experience I could remember having. And meeting me in my isolation, what I received from them was that these beings loved me. I was special. And they saw me, and they knew all that had happened to me, and they saw me, and they accepted me. And so that made me feel special. That made me want to have more of these experiences. And even at that young age, the small amount of the Christian worldview, I guess, that I had, I started to give away to try to have an understanding of reality that could fit in these experiences. And I then soon after found out about UFOs and aliens, and that seemed to fit more into what I had experienced. And so I kind of became fascinated with these entities. And also in this, around this age, I don't share this as often, but I had an experience where I thought it was the devil. I don't believe it was the devil now, but a demonic experience where I saw a being, and I believe that this being was calling me down this dark path, basically saying, come this way, almost like to continue in the dark ways that I was living, acting out sexually, just lying, hiding, all these things. And I knew it was wrong, but I thought, you know what, I want to do what I want to do. I loved my sin, which sounds weird to say, but at a young age, there was a point in which I do believe that my acting out and the way that I was living at a certain age, it was sin. And I decided I'm going to go down this path and follow this being. And one day when I'm strong enough or when I feel like it, I'll go back to doing what I know is right. But for now, I'm going to follow this being. And so I kind of continued down that path, just was a very unhappy kid. I remember getting a call from a parent around the age of 7, and my abuser had been caught abusing a child. And I was terrified that I was going to be found out, that everything was going to be exposed. And so I just decided, if I say that nothing ever happened and I believe it, then I can rewrite my reality, and if I believe the lie that it never happened. I was so afraid, and it breaks my heart, because if I had known the true Jesus, if I had known the true gospel and known that there is forgiveness, that there is, that who this God is who loves me so much that he would send his son to die for me, just the true gospel of Christ, but I didn't. And so my only answer was not to run to this God who loves me and who cares for me and who is over and above all things, but to run to try to grasp in my own power and create a reality and rewrite my story. And so I stuck to that lie, and I just denied that anything had ever happened, and continued living my life. And that there was a lot of pain. I started to self-harm at a young age and developed an eating disorder. I was bulimic, and when I did eat, I would eat very little. And a lot of pain and a lot of shame. And in high school, I ended up starting to drink and try drugs, because I said I would never do it, because I saw it firsthand. It destroyed my dad's life, who I loved dearly. He was continuously in a cycle of using, and then overdose, and then the hospital, and then rehab, and then away back home, and then sober for a short amount of time, and then back. So I knew I didn't want to be like that, but I found my identity in people and in friendships, and I started losing friendships because I wasn't drinking and doing drugs. And I just decided, again, I'll go back to doing, you know, the right thing later, but for now, it's not worth it to me to lose my friends. So I started first trying pills and marijuana, and then eventually alcohol. And for the first time when I drank, I actually escaped myself. For the first time, all these other things, all supernatural experiences, I had made my own Ouija boards, just searching, hunting for a supernatural experience. But for the first time with alcohol, I was drunk and I was numb, and I did forget what had happened. And I knew I'd made a mistake because I knew I never wanted to feel any way but that way for the rest of my life. And so that became my new idol. Everything that I did, it wasn't if I was going to drink or get drugs, it was how and when. That was my purpose. And that went on. Also in high school, I also found the book The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, which teaches the law of attraction. I later, towards the end of my story, saw that on the first page of The Secret, it says, as above, so below, and it quotes the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, which ties into later. I didn't know that that was tied to what I would eventually be led to, but it was amazing to see that. And obviously, the law of attraction was extremely alluring to me because the idea that I can create my own reality, that I don't have to leave my sin. Because in high school, I genuinely, God really was so kind to send people who would invite me to Awana when I was younger, or who would call me out. You say you're a Christian, you're living this way. And I would this whole time think I was a Christian and think that they were so judgmental because I said I was a Christian. Who are you to judge me? I can do what I want. I really didn't understand that Christ Jesus came to die for sinners and that I was truly a sinner, that I had sinned and rebelled against a holy, righteous God who must judge sin and who must judge rebellion, and that I was rebelling against him. I had no concept of that. I just thought because I had the stamp of Christian, or I said I was a Christian, that there was grace and that there was forgiveness and I could live how I wanted. Although again, I had no idea who Jesus was. My Jesus was not at all the Jesus of the Bible. And so I continued in this, got really into, also the law of attraction gave a space for me to put in my supernatural experiences. Obviously, you can tell from what I'm saying, I put supernatural experiences or experiences in general way higher than the Bible, of which I knew very little. And I really grasped on to the idea that my thoughts create my things. I'm the master of my own destiny. I, in a sense, am God, or at the very least, a co-creator with God. And therefore, I can literally rewrite my story. And that even brought in, this is kind of a side note, but that even brought in what I'd been taught in Disney, the idea that you can imagine your reality, the almost glorifying of imagination, and that ties in later to ritual magic. But so getting really into this, I also got into abusive relationships. My first relationship was physically abusive. There were very high highs, very violent lows. I didn't know what love is. I was just an addicted person looking for escape. I didn't even really think about the next day. I was so focused on escaping my pain in today. And he was a Native American and started to teach me Native American spirituality, things like elements and the earth. And we'd stay up all night talking about aliens. And so giving away more and more of the small amount that I knew about Christ, the true Christ. And then that relationship ended and I was absolutely, had no idea who I was. I had made this person my reason for living and I didn't know who I was, especially coming from a whole life of escaping myself, running from myself, trying to stuff down this pain. I truly had no idea who I was, and this was in college. When we broke up, it was very violent, and I just felt like a vacuum, went into even more drugs. I tried meth and heroin, and it really didn't even seem like a big deal at that time. When I tell you that I was empty and trying to escape myself, they just sound like words, but the reality of how broken and lost I was is hard to remember. So after we broke up, getting really into that, I spent pretty much the whole summer in Las Vegas just partying and going to raves, and I was just trying to find a way of escape. And I ended up meeting a guy who was a drug dealer, and the moment that I first saw him, I felt that same supernatural familiar feeling that I would get when I saw these entities or these familiar spirits. And I felt so drawn to him, immediately moved in with him. He enabled me in the sense that he was a drug dealer and provided for my addictions. He also, the first day we met, took me out. He started talking about aliens and all these things. And I didn't know it at the time, but he was a New Ager and he started teaching me New Age beliefs. And this man really quickly, although at first I didn't have romantic feelings for him, it was platonic, I ended up, he encouraged me to quit my job, and I became very dependent on him until when I did finally give myself to him, he totally turned, became very mean, treated me like trash, but I was totally dependent. I truly saw this man as my teacher, as my guide, and he taught me that we had lived hundreds of lives, that we were the same soul in a sense, and that in some lives we chose to have different quests, but we were always one. And I really believed this. I also started getting into psychedelic drugs with him. He was a DJ at clubs in Los Angeles, and that turned into Burning Man type festivals. So I started really getting into the new age scene, into crystals, into astrology, into using psychedelics now to have those supernatural experiences, wanting beings to enter my body, not seeing that as possession, but seeing that as just the logical next step to more supernatural experiences, and really getting deep into this stuff. That relationship went on for years, and it was the word that I have for it is dark. It was just, there was sorcery, and the way that my mind was messed with, this relationship had the biggest impact on me, and it was extremely spiritually and emotionally manipulative. When it ended, right before it ended, actually, I remember looking in the mirror, and I met my eyes with my eyes, and my blood just ran cold, like that feeling of fear, because I didn't recognize whatever was behind my eyes. And I was turning into something that I didn't recognize, or something was in me that I didn't recognize. When this relationship ended, it ended in a very confusing way. And when I say I was broken, I was so broken. I believed that what he had taught me, I believed that he could always see me. I believed that if I died, then we would be reunited. I had no sense of reality at this point from the drugs that I was continuously doing, from the belief systems. Every number that I saw was a sign from the universe. Every sound, if I heard a helicopter, if I heard a siren, I was not at all in reality. I had a hard time even having conversations with people because I was so out of it. Everywhere I looked, it was like I was haunted by this man. It was very confusing. He told me he was coming back for me, and my whole life still, it was almost as though I was in a relationship with this ghost, in the world's terms. Obviously, I don't believe in ghosts, but so that left me at this point, I was in a studio apartment in Hollywood alone. I spent so many nights just on the hardwood floor crying. I was mad at God for taking away this relationship. In this relationship, there were so many times that I told God I didn't want his plan. I wanted to be with this person. And I had a lot of very evil, very dark supernatural experiences. And as I was in this apartment, I kind of snapped. When I went to these New Age festivals, there was a lot of pagan sexual immorality. And there was a point that by God's grace, I felt restrained in that I couldn't bring myself to do it. But I thought that that was my fault, in the sense of there's something wrong with me because my Christian dogma is holding me back from being a free spirit. I truly thought that, and it made me angry. But by God's grace, there was that restraint in some areas, but I wanted that to go away. By the time we broke up, I was again in the studio apartment. My dad was homeless at this time. I just had no control over my reality, and I thought that I was being held back. So I just thought, you know what, this isn't working. I'm going to go all in. The New Age and these festivals, they play around with these things, but I want to get to the root of them. I want to get to the core of them. I want the power to control my reality, because this clearly isn't working. And so I really snapped, in a sense. And I got basically spent all my time being led by this entity that I believed was Thoth, the ancient Egyptian deity, Dahuti or Tahuti. And things would glow. I would walk somewhere, and I remember I walked into the store and these tarot cards were just glowing. And I walked up to them, and they were the Thoth tarot card deck by Aleister Crowley. and I bought them, and I just started obsessively going over them, meditating or trying to take in the images into my psyche, dreaming about them, astral projecting, lucid dreaming, just trying to take in these things. I was reading material by the three initiates. I was getting into Freemason doctrine, listening to a lot of Israel Regardi, just wanting to get to the root of where this power was coming from, reading a few materials from Aleister Crowley, although I would have physical reactions as I was reading the more dark, I guess it's all dark in a sense, but especially Aleister Crowley or witchcraft books that showed me there was power. I won't get too much into that, but it scared me. I had a feeling that Satan or the devil or evil was behind it, but I refused to believe that because I had the subjective idea that everything is subjective. And so to make that shorter, I ended up being led to this order called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And I kept feeling like I was being led to it, like it was the next thing. After all this study, it was just the next step. But I kept being afraid to go through this door. I'd say it like I would walk up to a door and I would want to enter it, but I would get scared and turn around, but I'd always be led back to this door. So finally, I ended up meeting with a guy at a coffee shop, and everything that he was talking to me about was exactly what these entities had been leading me to. During that time also, I had an alien abduction experience. I was having a lot of alien experiences, which continued into this order. And I was just confused, but I'd been having these experiences, especially with aliens specifically, since I was a child. And so I thought they were my friends. I thought they loved me. I thought they were leading me. I thought they cared for me. And everything that this guy was talking about, or so much of it, from astrology to Egyptian mythology to Kabbalah, was exactly what these entities had been leading me to. And so I was excited. He basically told me about the great work and that, in a sense, I'd been called to this. And so I met him later at a Freemason lodge to be initiated into this order. And it was the whole, I had to go out and buy my red socks, and I was in a black robe with a hood, or I was hoodwinked, really. And it was a whole thing. But yeah, if you would have airdropped me in there, it would have seemed unbelievably dark, because it was. But from my whole life, all these experiences leading up to that point, it just seemed like the next thing, and I was extremely excited. But the ritual and the way that it was done was very powerful, in a sense, very scary. I had a sword to my neck at one point, making an oath that I would never share what I was taught, very shrouded in a hermetic seal of secrecy. And all that to say, I ended up in that order, and I was in it. I graduated grades, and I was so encouraged. Oh, you're doing such a great job, and you've been called to this. I did a lot of ritual magic and initiation. A lot of invocations, and it's hard to remember, but a lot of magic. And even I went to a conclave. It was 8 hours a day for 3 days of just being in the Freemason Lodge, practicing ritual magic, learning things, writing sigils, all this stuff. But in that order, they used Kabbalah, and they would set up the ritual room like the tabernacle. There'd be the table of shewbread, and we'd take communion. Well, really, they called it Eucharist, but to Osiris, and all these things taking from the Bible. Even in rituals, they'd read Bible verses in Latin. So I had a sense that there was something to the Bible, because they were taking it, ripping out of it, and trying to manipulate and suck this magical power out of it. And so I'd read the whole Bhagavad Gita with the commentary, and I'd read all these different texts, thought I was so advanced, and I thought, well, might as well read the Bible. And I read that you can tell a tree by its fruit. I had no idea what that meant, but it didn't matter, because the Lord was doing a work in me, and I realized that the fruit of the leaders, the teachers in this order, as well as myself, was bad fruit. I could tell, although I cared for them and they were nice enough people, they were just as depraved as me. And that was concerning. And then I read that Satan masquerades as the angel of light. Well, I didn't know that. And I had a feeling that there was evil behind this, but I kept thinking, no, this is light work. Lucifer is the light bearer. There can't be anything dark about this. Dark is just subjective. Dark is just the light of hidden knowledge hasn't been shined on it. But it didn't matter because God's word was piercing through to my heart and revealing the thoughts and intentions of it. And then one night I remembered Genesis 3. I don't know why the Lord just in his amazing, awesome mercy brought that to my mind. And I remembered that it was actually the serpent who had said that if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll become like God, knowing good and evil. And in the occult, there's the two pillars and just so much of it is darkness and light. And it just convicted me that this is Satan behind this. And I'm falling for the original lie or the original lie in the Bible. And it led to the fall of man. And it's leading to the fall in my life. And you'd think that I would turn from my ways. But one, I think of the verse that talks about, I believe it's John 3:19, about how the people don't come to the light because they're afraid that their wicked deeds will be exposed. I did not want to be exposed in the light. And I also was prideful that I was really good at this. I was being told that I'm really good at this. And I didn't even know who I was apart from the occult, apart from the New Age, apart from this, and apart from my aliens anymore. I didn't know if you took that away, what of me would be left. But one night, also during this time, my grandpa came to visit and he asked me what my relationship with God was like. And I was like so excited to tell him, well, I've read parts of the Quran and I read the whole Bhagavad Gita and this and this and this. And I just, all this pomp. And he just looked at me and said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And basically that you will die in your sins if you don't turn to Jesus. And I had noticed that what was missing in all these other religions was Jesus, was forgiveness of sins, was God loving humanity, loving the world so much that he would send his only son for there to be mercy, that Jesus Christ would live that perfect life that I clearly had not lived at all, and no one has lived, and that he would die in our place, bearing God's justice, judgment, bearing God's wrath, and bearing our sin. There was no understanding of that, but I could see that there was no mercy for me apart from Christ. And then one night, it was just like any other night, I had my tarot spread out and I was walking across my studio apartment and I fell to my knees. I was spiritually attacked, demonically attacked, and it felt like my soul was being sucked out into utter darkness. And I heard myself cry out, Jesus Christ, save me. And I meant it. And it really amazed me that I said that because I was taught all of these other things to do. But in that moment, I cried out to Jesus Christ. And in that moment, I had the peace that I had been looking for, searching for my whole life. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was the God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who had saved me from that attack, just like that. All the power in the Freemason Lodge, in the occult, in the Aleister Crowley, dark, wicked things was nothing compared to the power of the Almighty God of the Bible. And I was shaking because I was terrified because I realized, because I'd flipped through the Bible, I'd seen parts of what it said about sorcerers being an abomination, those who practice divination. And I thought, well, that can't be for today, trying to reinterpret it. But I knew, no, this God is right and I am wrong. And I started reading the Bible and I really thought that I had this higher knowledge and I had been taught all these codes and different ways to read into the text. And it didn't matter because something in me recognized this as true. And for the first time, all these other teachings had left me emptier and emptier. But the Bible, God's word, was feeding me, was filling me, was satisfying my soul. And I was truly amazed at the mercy of this God and the power and his power and how personal and intimate he really is. And for the first time, I realized after I had been reading the Bible that I could get sober. And that, you know, now I've been sober for a while, so it doesn't sound like that much, but I truly thought I was going to die an addict. I I was enslaved to all of my sin. And I knew that with God with me and with his power, and because I was in Christ, I could get sober. And so I basically locked myself away in my studio apartment and just was in the Word. And God was so kind to speak to me through his Word and show me that he truly had died in my place and bore my sins and God's punishment in my place. Jesus had died. He raised on the third day. And now he's truly seated at the right hand of God as the one mediator, the one go-between between God and man, that those who turn from their sin and put their faith in Christ, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have everlasting eternal life in Christ and the reality of me being a new creation in Christ. I actually got baptized at a Calvary in the Hollywood area, a church plant, and realized I actually went to that church for some time thinking that I could still be in the Golden Dawn and go to church. I was taught by the order, you could be a Christian, there's nothing wrong with it. But as the Lord sanctified me and revealed to me the sin that I was practicing, it just amazes me how God does that sanctifying work in believers. And so I told them, I am following Jesus Christ. I'm not coming back. They say you can never leave, but I never went back. And I now have been following Jesus by his grace. And I just want to say I am so amazed at the reality of who Jesus Christ is, that he truly, truly did live that perfect life in the place of sinners and bear God's wrath that we justly deserved. It can be so easy to have a high view of ourselves, and I really had a hard time understanding hell. I didn't get why God would have to judge me. I imagine me, all that. I still thought I was a good person deep down, so it was hard for me to see why would God punish me. But the reality of the holiness and goodness of God, who's given me every good gift I've ever had, and yet I rebelled against him, that he's not only perfectly just, but he is love, and that he sent Jesus to suffer and die in my place, and is just amazing. And the fact that if you truly repent and believe, you can have that eternal life. So all that to say, it's amazing how that was my life, but who I am now in Christ, it's hard for me to remember those things. I'm amazed at who God actually is.
Wow, what an awesome testimony. Praise God. And praise God. You know, I know you got a lot going on now that you're doing too, because it's amazing, because God has obviously called you out of that, but now you're also still trying to reach those who are caught up in the same lies. Like you said, that's beautiful. You got baptized, you're being sanctified, and you're saying the God said, no, you got to come out of their midst and be separate. I think that's really awesome. But what are some of the things you have going on now that you're doing to try to help others that may have been in the same situation you were in?
Yes, I have such a heart for people caught up in this, especially specifically people in the occult or who are drawn to it, because there can be such a fascination with hidden knowledge. But when it's revealed and exposed, I love Ephesians 5:11, as do you, exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, when you see them for what they are, that there's nothing new under the sun, that it's the same old lie. In a lot of ways, it loses its alluring quality when you see the lure for what it is. And so I have such a desire to reach people who are entrapped in these deceptive lies that do not give you peace. They do not heal. They, a lot of the time, the New Age preys on people who've gone through trauma and offers beautiful things that are packaged with galaxies and beautiful imagery, and yet they're the same destructive lie from the same destructive liar who steals, kills, and destroys. So we just started a podcast, myself, Doreen Virtue, and Jen Niza, called New Age to New Heart, where we expose the lies that we believe and compare them to the truth of God's word, the Bible.
Praise God. Where could we check those out, the podcast?
It is on YouTube and Spotify and Apple, all under New Age to New Heart.
Wow. Well, I am so excited for people to check that out. What an awesome new podcast. I knew you guys had just started it, and I've seen a couple of the uploads. So I'm excited to dig in a little bit more on that and for more people to hear about it. But Jack, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Thank you so much, brother. And thank you so much for all that you do to expose the darkness and share the light of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.